open your Bibles to Jonah chapter 3. We'll be continuing in our series of messages, Journeying with Jonah. And today we're going to talk about representing God's message. You know, Jonah spent 3 days and 3 nights in the bellies of that great whale. But after he repented of his sin and after he came out, what did he do? God still had a mission for him.
Amen.
God still had a plan for his life. And I would tell you today, you may go through struggles, you may go through problems, you may go through heartache, but God still has a plan for your life.
Amen.
God always has a plan. The Bible says that he which has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So God has a plan for your life, every one of us here. And we need to fulfill that plan as Jonah did. Jonah, when he came out of that fish's belly, God still had a plan for him to go to Nineveh and preach to these evil people, because they didn't change their lifestyle while he was in that belly of that fish. They still needed repenting and they still needed preaching to. So, think about this. All of us have witnessed a child throwing a temper tantrum. I know many of you have young children, many of you have grandchildren, and they all pitch temper tantrums. The child may do a number of things. He may be pound on the floor with his hands and feet. He may lay on the floor and scream at the top of his lungs. She may throw things and slam doors, or she may do all things and even more. But in all this, the child has one purpose for throwing that temper tantrum. That's to have their own way.
Amen.
Many of us today want to have our own way. Many of us want to do things our own way. Like the child that beats on the floor, screams to the top of their lungs. They want their own way. Jonah wanted his own way.
Amen.
Jonah refused to go to Nineveh, and God took a big whale and swallowed him up to teach him a good lesson.
Amen.
And God may teach you a lesson. If you want to do your own way, if you want to go your own way, do your own thing, God may teach you a lesson. You know, have you ever noticed how our world has become filled with groups that are demanding their own way? The Palestinians demanded that Israel give them some land. Taxpayers demand relief from burdensome taxation. Presidents and world leaders are always demanding change of one kind or another. Our president has forced face masks, business closings, and everything else just to satisfy his own desires, just to satisfy what he called protective measures, even over in the country of China. They have had a massive lockdown because their leader thought that it was the best thing to do to control the virus that has come back and ravaged their nation. So we know that people want their own way. Workers in every field demand higher wages and better working conditions. And in almost every group, there will be a spokesperson saying this: we will not budge on this issue until we get exactly what we want. Until we get exactly what we have fought for. Till we get exactly what we're protesting for. Listen, we are fast becoming a world, and especially a nation, that demands that everything be done in such a way that it will benefit us personally. Now, that is not always bad, but sometimes it is necessary. Yet the question that comes to mind is, Have we become so demanding that we have made surrender of our will a way of impossibility to go to God and His ways? Strangely enough, the Bible indicates that in order to come to God or go for God in doing His will, there must be a surrender of one's life to Him, an unconditional surrender. In other words, you can't demand that God accept your way of doing things. God has a plan, and that plan, God may have a plan for your life, and you may go your own way for a time. You may do your own thing for a time, but God will always bring you around to doing what He planned for you to do. God's will always be accomplished in your life. You must be willing to surrender your whole life to God if you want the blessings God has for you. And I wonder if demanding our own way in other things has made us try to serve God in the way we want to rather than the way He wants us to serve Him. Everything hinges on the word surrender. When we try to demand our way with God, we're like the prodigal son as he leaves his father and goes out and does his own thing. Only when we return ready to unconditionally surrender do we become suitable and usable to God. Just like the prodigal son, Jonah had to learn the lesson of surrender the hard way. And when Jonah did surrender, God said, "Jonah, I still want you to go to Nineveh and preach to these people." God never gave up on Jonah. God never gave up on him, even though he tried to go his own way. Even though he tried to do his own thing. Even though the fish swallowed him up for 3 days and three nights, God still had a plan for Jonah. And he said, "Jonah, I still want you to go to Nineveh for me." It is important for us to consider today what has happened in a person's life when he really decides to go for God. In Jonah chapter 3, if you'll stand with me, we'll read verses 1 through 10. The Bible says, "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went into Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth for the greatest of them, even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and he covered him with sackcloth and set in ashes, and he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the kings and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And God saw their works, and that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not." Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to come and bring your word this morning. We pray, Father, that you would help us to see how these people repented, changed their way of life, and how we need to surrender our life to the will of God completely. Lord, we know many people today want to have their own way. Many people want to do their own thing. But Lord, we know that your word tells us that the only way we can truly be blessed and to have the things that you want us to have is to have a life that is completely surrendered to you. Lord, we ask you that you would fill us with your spirit this morning as guide us and direct us as we teach. For it's in Christ's name we ask it all. Amen.
Amen.
So what can we learn from Jonah's story of surrender? Well, Jonah's repentance led him to surrender in three specific ways. And I want to talk about those three specific ways that Jonah's life was changed. First, surrender to God's plan. Jonah was in that fish's belly for 3 days and three nights. When he repented of his sin, and when God spit him out onto the dry land, when that great fish spit him out, God still had a plan for him. What was that plan? It was a plan to surrender to God's plan to go to Nineveh. God did not change his mind, even though Jonah did not want to do what God wanted him to do. God still had that plan for Jonah, the spokesman of God, to go to Nineveh and to speak to these people. Well, what happened when Jonah went? These people, the king of Nineveh, said, "We're going to fast. We're going to fast. We're not going to eat or drink anything. And we're going to pray to God that he will stay his hand of violence against us." And what did God do? God saw their faith. God saw that they wanted to do what he wanted them to do. Change from their evil ways. And what did the Bible say? The Bible said God repented that he would do those things to them. That he would destroy that nation. Listen, the word repented in that verse means God changed his mind. God changed his mind. He was about ready to destroy Nineveh if they hadn't changed. He was about ready to just wipe them off the face of the earth. But they repented of their sin. They repented of the fact that they was not following God. They were following their own way. And what did God do? God repented that he had ever wanted to destroy them, and he did not destroy them. He let them live. He let them live. From the very beginning, it was God's plan for Jonah to go to Nineveh. It was God's plan back when we looked at the beginning in chapter 1. And it was still God's plan in chapter 3. God's plan for Jonah never changed, but Jonah did. When God first gave his plan to Jonah, he had not yet surrendered to God, and therefore he did not go for God. Jonah refused to go for God when God first told him to go. God never changed his mind, though. God was dead set on sending Jonah to Nineveh. So what did he do? He still chose to send him there when he came out of the fish. When God first gave his plan, Jonah had not yet surrendered. But here we see in chapter 3 he does surrender. Now Jonah has surrendered to God, which is demonstrated in the fact he's now on board with God's plan. The big difference between Jonah's reaction to God's command in the beginning compared to now is the difference between the attitude of rebellion and an attitude of surrender. Many of us rebel against God. Many of us say, "God, you want me to do this, but I don't want to go. God, you want me to go there, but I don't want to go." We have rebellion in our life and we don't want to do what God's plan is. Jonah was that way. Jonah said, I don't want to go to Nineveh. I'm going to get on this ship and I'm not going to go to Nineveh. But God taught him a lesson. God put him in the belly of a great whale in this stinky, slimy place. Jonah realized that God's way was the best way.
Amen.
He realized that God wanted him to go to Nineveh 3 days and three nights in the stinky, slimy, very thick whale's belly, apart from any life form. Jonah learned a great lesson. He learned the attitude of rebellion was not going to work. He knew he must surrender to God's will. God could have kept him in that belly of that whale forever. He could have just digested him, swallowed him, and never spit him up. But God had a plan for Jonah. God was not going to let Jonah fail. God had a plan for him, so he spit him up on dry land, and he set him on a mission. And Jonah, after spending 3 days and three nights in that belly of that fish, realized that surrender was better than rebellion. The late Clarence Jordan ran a thriving and initiative ministry in South Georgia called Canaan Farms. Once Clarence went to his lawyer brother for legal assistance, realizing that representing this ministry might hurt his law practice, his brother refused to help. Clarence said, "Brother, you and I walked the aisle in the Little Baptist Church when we were young. I think you need to go back and clarify what you told that pastor that Sunday morning. You need to tell those people that what you really meant to say was that you admire Jesus, not that you want to follow him." What Clarence Jordan was trying to impress upon his brother was that the church is not Jesus' administration society. It is a band of Jesus' disciples who are bound and determined to do what he wants them to do, no matter the cost. Jesus says, surrender your life to me and I'll lead you. I'll guide you. I'll direct your path. Follow me. Surrender your life to me and I'll bless you. I'll give you those things that you need. I'm reminded of what Jesus said. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all of these things you want shall be added unto you. Many people don't realize that surrendering their life to God brings more blessings and more blessings. They're out there trying to get all the blessings in life their own way, and they seem to be failing every day. What they need to do is surrender to God. God said, if you'll put me first, I'll add all these things into your life. I'll give you all these things you're wanting. I'll provide all these things you want. Listen, Jonah didn't realize before that he was called by God to complete a mission.
Yeah.
After he spent those 3 days and three nights in that whale's belly, he realized that God's way was the best way. He needed to listen to God. He needed to follow God's direction. Listen, you and I know that God wants to be a witness for his kingdom. You and I know that God wants us to love our neighbors as ourselves. You and I know that God wants us to be good stewards of our time, money, and talents. You and I know when you're doing what God wants you to do, it's always going to turn out great. God's will for our life is determined by our surrender. And when we surrender to God, God's going to work everything out to our good. No matter what comes in our life, we can trust that God is in control, that God wants to bless us, that God wants to give us those things. I believe our problem is that we often don't know what God's will is, but we're simply not willing to do what God has called us to do. And our unwillingness is proof that we're not fully surrendered to God. Notice that not only did God change plans, but he also didn't change people. He could have. He could have called another person to do Jonah's job, but God didn't want somebody else to do it. He wanted Jonah. The job was designed for him by the mind of God. You and I might not sometimes understand why God will not use someone else for the task he wants us to do. But God has his reasons. And I wonder, have you and I come to the point in our lives where we're willing to surrender to God's plan for us? If we are, God will work everything out to his will. Many people say, well, I can't witness. I can't tell people about Jesus. Listen, if you'll surrender your life to God, God will put the words in your mouth to tell people. God will give you the spirit to speak. God will give you everything you need to provide you with the things you need to complete the task he has got for you to do. God will never abandon you. God will never leave you. Listen, Jonah's repentance led him to surrender to God's message. Secondly, surrender to God's message. God not only wanted Jonah to go to Nineveh, but he also wanted him to preach for him. His message didn't change. God's message never changed. God's person to deliver that message never changed. God's timing never changed. God wanted Jonah personally to preach to that city. Jonah wanted to rebel. He did not want to listen to God's plan. He did not want to go to Nineveh. Those people down there are so wicked, I don't want to go down there. God said, go. God's will for his life never changed. God wanted Jonah to go, and so Jonah finally went. Through the ages, God has continued to use the methodology of preaching to proclaim his message. You might say, well, that is one thing I know that is God is not calling me to do. If he does, I'm not going to do it. God might or might not be calling you into the preaching ministry, but I know from his word that if he's calling each of us to be a spokesperson for him. Listen, God may not be calling you to be an evangelist. God may not be calling you to be a preacher, but he calls all of us to be a witness for him. Amen. All of us, everyone here this morning, is a witness for Christ. Every one of us can proclaim the gospel message. If our church is putting its reliance on their paid preachers to do all the preaching, the world will never hear the gospel message. The Bible speaks of the priesthood of all believers. If you are a Christian, you are a priest. And if a priest, a proclaimer of the good news of Jesus Christ. We're all equally responsible for getting out the message. But notice that God doesn't always give us a message that's easy to deliver. This message that Jonah was bringing to these people was not an easy message to give. He told them they were going to be destroyed if they didn't change the ways. Many times, our message to people will not be the most soothing message. Many times it needs to be soothing. We need to be telling people that God loves them, God cares for them, God wants to save them. But we also need to be telling them about the dangers of the place that they'll go if they don't surrender their life to God.
Amen.
A devil's hell, a place of eternal punishment, a place that's going to burn with fire and brimstone, and there's not going to be any end of suffering of the people that go there.
Amen.
That message is not a message many people want to hear, but it's a reality. It's a reality of all people that do not accept Jesus. This city did not want to hear the message that Jonah brought them. They did not want to hear they were going to be destroyed. But what did it represent when Jonah brought that message to them? It represented the fact that Jonah cared enough about them to tell them the truth. It represented the fact that they were going to die and they were going to be destroyed if they didn't repent. What was the result? They repented. They repented and they changed their ways. Listen, my friend. The Ninevites made pyramids out of human skulls to mark the route the conqueror had taken. Now, you might have little more sympathy for why Jonah didn't want to go to these people in the first place. But it was Jonah's job to go to these people, preach to them that they might repent of their wickedness. Jonah's message was simple but stark. 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed. Listen, Jonah had to speak of judgment and wickedness. He had to speak what God had told him. He had to speak the message that God was going to destroy this nation if they did not want to change. Listen, my friend. Jonah, the man in this story, the text doesn't give us the whole story, but I'm sure Jonah told them how wicked their deeds really were. Jonah 1:2 tells us, this is the reason God sent Jonah to Nineveh. Believe me, these people were wicked. When the Ninevites would capture a city, they would slaughter all the leading citizens. And when I say slaughtered, I mean slaughtered. They stretched men out flat on the ground, tied their hands and feet to stakes, and literally with a knife skinned them alive, while others they would place on a pole in the ground with a point facing upwards. Then they would lift the victim and impale them on that pole through their lower chest. Listen, these Ninevites were evil people. They were the most evil people of that day. They skinned people alive. They were downright evil people. God saw their evilness. That's why he wanted them to repent. That's why he sent Jonah. That's why he sends us to the lost and dying world. Listen, we know the people in our world today are wicked. We know the people in our world. I was watching Law and Order, and this show came on, this advertisement come on. It's called Brett Loves Judy, and it's about two gay women getting married and wanting to adopt kids. Let me tell you something. The Bible says that's an abomination in his sight.
Amen.
But they glorified on WeTV.
Yep.
They want you to think that it's an acceptable lifestyle. God says it's against nature. God says it's an abomination to him for man to lie with man and woman to lie with woman. But we as God's people need to be telling people about their sin, about the fact that God does not accept this, and the fact that God does not approve of this. Listen, people today are getting so enamored and so involved in these wayward lifestyles, in the lifestyles that are not acceptable to God, and they're making it look acceptable. They're promoting it, And our president is approving it. All of our government has gone and turned completely against God. We need, as a nation, to pray for our leaders, pray for our government, pray for this world, that they might turn back to God, they might turn back to Him, and start living a life that is according to God's will. That's what Jonah did. Jonah went to this city. Sometimes we have forgotten to remind people that just as much as God loves people, God hates sin. He will only stomach our weakness for so long, and the cleanup needs to begin among God's people. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says this, "If my people," that's talking about Christians, "which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land." The person who is ready to go for God has surrendered to be God's spokesperson. Thirdly, Jonah's repentance led him to surrendering to God's power. Surrendering to God's power. God's plan was not only that Jonah go to Nineveh and proclaim the message that he had given him. After that, it was between God and Nineveh. It was out of Jonah's hands. But notice what happened. Because Jonah surrendered to go and Jonah surrendered to speak, God's power moved a whole city to repentance. That's all it took. Listen, all it takes for you to win somebody to the Lord and help them escape the devil's hell that's prepared for the devil and his angels is to tell them about Jesus. Tell them about Jesus. Let them know that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Listen, Nineveh was no small city. Its circumference was some 60 miles. The walls around the city were 100 feet tall and broad enough for 3 chariots to be driven abreast. It was fortified by 1,500 towers, which were 200 feet tall, and its population has been estimated at between 600,000 and 1 million people. Yet they all repented because of Jonah. No, it wasn't because of Jonah. It was because of God's power on Jonah. Jonah preaching to them, Jonah changing their life, and the king of Nineveh completely changing his lifestyle. It was because Jonah became a usable vessel, unconditionally surrendered to God. In closing, D.L. Moody once said, "The world is yet to see what God can do through one man who is totally committed to Him." The statement is true, but not totally so. God has used individual men and women to do great things. He used Moses to lead Israel out of Egypt. He used Jonah. Listen, He used Jonah to preach to Nineveh. He used Paul to take the gospel all over the Mediterranean world. He used William Carey to start the modern missionary movement. Yet, none of these men were totally 100% surrender to God. But through one who was totally surrendered, Jesus Christ, God saved the world. Amen. Listen, Jesus has been the only person that has ever been totally 100% surrendered to God. And why did He have to be? Because He had to do what God had called Him to do, which was die on the cross for the sins of the world. Amen. Jesus was the only man. All of these men, Paul, Peter, James, all of these disciples, made a great impact on the world, made a great impact on the things that they did, but they were not totally surrendered to God. They still had to have their own ways at times, had to do their own things at times. Only Jesus was 100% surrendered to God. He was 100% surrendered to God, and what did that accomplish? That accomplished him going to the cross and dying for our sins. Amen. To provide us a way to eternal life. To provide us a way to get to heaven. To provide us a way to have a relationship with God. All because Jesus was 100% to God. The world has seen what can be done through God. But the question today is, what can God do through you and me? You see, if we will surrender to God's plan, surrender to His spokespeople, surrender to His power, He could bring our Nineveh to repentance. You and I have the opportunity to go for God today. We have the opportunity to turn the community of Hollow Rock to Jesus Christ. And if you think that is impossible, perhaps you need to re-examine your commitment to God and your commitment to Jesus Christ. Listen, God wants us to be a witness for Him. God said, go. He didn't say, get saved and sit on a pew. He said, get saved and go into all the world and tell people about me. Listen, my friend, we as God's children need to be on fire for God. We need to be on fire for Him as much as we're on fire for all the things we get on fire for in this world. Jonah had to be taught an incredible lesson. Yes. That lesson taught him a great lesson that he needed to surrender to God from his rebellious lifestyle. He needed to be totally surrendered to God in his mission, in his preaching, and in his life. Jonah is a great lesson for all of us. We need to be surrendered to God. We need to do like Jonah and surrender our entire lives to the Heavenly Father to go out and tell people about Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to come this morning and bring your word. Father, we pray, God, that you would help us to be a witness for you. Help us to go out into this community and lead people to the Savior and invite them to church. Father, help us as we go out. Fill us with your Spirit. Give us the words to say and empower us to be the greatest witness you would have us to be. For in Christ's name we ask it all. Amen.